chapter 5. It's been a good morning. Amen. James chapter 5. It's an awesome thing to serve the Lord, and I do beg for your prayers for all of us, all seven of us, as we strive to serve this church and this community. We'll read verse 12. We're only going to look at one verse this morning, so we'll just look at verse 12. Chapter 5 of James, verse 12. We have one more sermon. Next week we will be looking at the very end of this chapter, which is chapter 5. We'll be taking a look at prayer, and then that will conclude our series on a life well lived, as we have been going through that now for I don't know how many weeks, a long time before I even got here. I know you were into the series. So we'll finish up next week, that series, and then the following week we'll move on into to a different series in the book of Joshua. So James chapter 5, verse 12. Above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I ask for your help now. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. You have heard prayers of request for your guidance, for your direction. And Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts everything that is good for us and glorifying for you. Lord, I ask that you would give us receptive hearts even now for what you would have us to hear. May the eyes of our hearts be open this morning. May we be submissive. Holy Spirit, come and work in ways that we don't expect. Make us more and more like Jesus. So God, we ask that you would come. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would touch every heart. And may your word be strength to our hearts. Let us not go away discouraged, but encouraged. So Lord, I pray that you would strengthen us as we look at your word. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Last week, we focused on patience as we saw in a context of suffering and affliction and difficulties that we need patience. And even this week, I heard from several of you, the Lord worked on you this week. Even yesterday in playing volleyball, there were a couple of guys saying, you know, you talked about patience this week, and it was crazy this week. Everywhere I turned, there was an instance where I had to ask myself, am I going to obey that or not? God works in our lives. That's encouraging. I want you to be encouraged by that fact, not discouraged, because there are probably moments of last week when you thought, I don't have the patience that I need. Well, this week we're going to be looking at what we do with our tongues, how we speak. Very simply, do we speak the truth or not? And you can hear this sermon as it's not intended as a means for discouraging you and saying, okay, here's all the places you're not telling the truth. That's not the intent of the sermon. The intent is for you to fall in love with truth, which truth is a person. Jesus is truth. And I want, most of all, I want you to fall in love with Jesus. I don't know if you are a believer in Christ this morning or not. I don't know hearts, thank God. And I'm glad you don't know mine, because if you really knew deep down who I am, you'd run out of here. We don't know hearts, do we? But God does. And I hope that you will see a Savior who can cleanse you and purify you in everything you do. So I want you to fall in love with Jesus. I want you to fall in love with truth and to begin to cherish truth. And lastly, I want you to turn away from all falsehood. It's subtle. Deception is subtle. It's increasingly deceitful in how we choose our words in order to evade or hide or cover up or make ourselves look a whole lot better than we really are. And I want you to forsake all falsehood. That's my desire for you this morning. So last week, the context was suffering and challenges. We saw James give us a couple of examples for patience. He pointed us to a farmer, he pointed us to a prophet, and he points us to Job. And in introducing Job, he introduces the idea of suffering. And then immediately following our verse for this morning, which is chapter 12, you'll see again in verse 13 the mention of suffering. So patience relates to that in that in the moments that we're struggling, in difficulty, in trial, in moments of suffering, what happens and how we respond in those moments is usually will be a pointer to what we do with our mouth. In other words, when we're out of patience, what do we say? And here, I think the context, James would say, we have to be careful that we don't swear oaths in those moments when we're going through suffering and struggle and trial and just say anything in order to get out of the situation that we're in. Because oftentimes in suffering, in extended periods of trial, the easiest sin for us to fall into is spouting off at the mouth and making promises that we really don't intend to keep. Like, oh God, I promise if you just get me out of here, I'll go to church every Sunday. We've made those kind of promises. James would warn us against that kind of thing. What we say with our mouths, with our tongues, matters. It matters deeply. And as elders, especially those of us who labor in preaching and teaching, it's extremely important for us to be on guard about this as well. But all of us, all teachers, have the same kind of challenge. Now, we're an elder team of seven. You saw every man up here participate at some level of that service. That was intentional. It wasn't to be fair and let everybody have their say. There's a reason why we did that. It's because we all serve as equal men who are called to serve this church. Some of us just have full-time responsibilities and others don't. It means we wake up and think everything that happens here and dream about what we can do and how we can reach people for Christ. So we have a full-time responsibility that other elders don't, but yet share equally in all the decisions that we make. So I want you to begin to pray for all seven of us. Make that a promise. I hope that you come out of this sermon with an intention to daily pray for all seven of us. You saw us, you know what we look like, you know our names, and I hope that you'll intentionally pray for us. Elders are to be men who are above reproach. Self-controlled is listed as part of the qualities of what it means to be an elder. And if we can't control our tongues, we're in trouble. So this especially has relevance today, and in the providence of God, it's not an accident that we come to this verse on the day of this installation service. The Lord has his hand in everything. Now this doesn't just apply to elders. What you say in every context you find yourself in is critical too. So this applies to every person in this room. If you have a tongue, today this verse is for us. Let's just check. Everybody have a tongue? Well, only about 10 of you. All right. Well, you know what I want. I want you to fall in love with truth. I want you to love Jesus. I want you to be convinced that God can work through you for good, that you can use your mouth to bring people into the kingdom if we talk about our Lord and Savior. And I want you to pray for us, and I want you to forsake all falsehood. So what's the trouble James brings up here confronts us with who we are. In the first part of the verse, he says, above all, my brothers, do not swear by either by heaven or earth. So what's the trouble? We'll take a look at the trouble with the tongue. We'll take a look at the solution to the trouble and then the reward for obedience. So above all, brothers, don't swear by heaven or earth. Above all, which means this is important. Everything in the Bible is important. James here says, above all, brothers, don't swear. And some would take this to mean that this sin is above all others. And I'm not convinced so much that that's the case as it is that when we're in difficult circumstances, that our easy tendency is to fall into sins with our mouths in what we say. So given the fact that this context of suffering and extended difficulty, I think he means that it's really easy for us to say things that are hurtful or angry or mean or bitter and cruel in the moments when we're experiencing suffering. We lash out. James would keep us from that. When we're enduring difficulties and our patience is gone, that's the connection with last week, we spout off saying something sinful, we can hurt people. Because when patience is empty, the heart overflows into the mouth. And out comes what's really there. We have to be diligent above all things in these moments to guard ourselves for what we say. No outbursts of anger, right? The righteousness of God is not achieved by the anger of men. That's what the Bible says. So what kind of language? He has in mind swearing of oaths. And there are at least two aspects to the swearing of oaths that are in mind here. There's two directions, if you will, in swearing of oaths. Sometimes the Bible will refer to us making promises to God. Those rash vows. God, get me out of this and I'll do anything. Whatever. That kind of thing. The other direction is when we swear an oath with our neighbor or a fellow man in order to validate what we're saying. We appeal to some higher dignity in order to give more credence to the words of our mouths. So that's the other kind of swearing of an oath. I think James has both things in mind, both aspects in mind. When patience is gone and life is hard, we spout off and say things we don't mean. We lie. It's essentially what the issue is. So the trouble with the tongue is we often lie. Now remember the words of Jesus. I think James has in mind what he has heard from his brother, half-brother. Matthew 5:33, Jesus says, "Again, you have heard that it was said of those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but you shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn.' But I say to you, do not take an oath either by heaven or by earth, for that heaven is the throne of God and earth is the footstool. Or do not swear by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king. Do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say simply be yes or no. Anything else more than this comes from evil." So Jesus is probably quoting Numbers here. You know, if you want to learn how to live the Christian life, read the Old Testament. You know, every time Jesus was tempted, he quoted from the book of Deuteronomy. He points often to the Old Testament. So don't neglect the Old Testament in your reading. But here's the verse Jesus is probably quoting. "Moses spoke to the heads of the tribes of Israel saying, 'This is what the Lord has commanded. If a man vows a vow to the Lord,'" that's the direction towards God, "or if he swears an oath to bind himself by a pledge," that would be more towards man, "he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth." This is serious. It's serious to make a vow, to give your word, and not keep it. And God would have us say, we're going to give our word about something. We do everything within our power to keep our promises. What we say with our mouth matters. The Bible teaches us to be a people who are representative of the character of God. If we as Christians cannot keep our word, why would anybody believe that our God keeps his promises? It all reflects on our God. We have to be keepers of our word because our God keeps his word. When God gives a promise, he keeps it. We have to model that. That's serious. Psalm 15 asks the question, "What kind of man can dwell in the tent of the Lord?" The answer comes back, "The kind of man who gives his word and keeps it even when it hurts." So, this comes home to me. My son asked me, "Daddy, can we play football tomorrow afternoon?" "Yeah." "I'm in a hurry. Patience is gone." "Sure." "I don't want him to keep talking." "Yes." Right? Quick answers. When I come home, I better make time to play football. I don't want my son growing up thinking that God doesn't keep his promises because daddy can't keep his. Fathers, mothers, if you make a promise to take the kids to the park on Saturday and a chance for an odd job to make a little extra money comes up on Saturday, and you don't need the money for the family health care, you better skip it, take the kids to the park. We have to be a people of our word because our God is a God who keeps his promises. That ought to weigh on us, ought to weigh heavy on us. And this is the problem with the Pharisees. They did not take that into consideration. They were claiming to be God's representatives and God's people, God's men, as it were. They knew that invoking the name of God was serious. If you call God's name in to validate your oath and you don't keep your word, who do you answer to? You answer to God. So, one way to lie, but make it appear like you're telling the truth, is to swear upon some lesser dignity, like heaven or earth. Well, Jesus says there's a problem with that. You can't swear on heaven because why? That's God's throne. Don't swear upon earth. That's where he rests his feet. Don't swear an oath based upon Jerusalem, because that's where God chose to install his representative, the king. It all points back to our Savior. And we cannot, in our words, neglect to take consideration of our God. In the same way we saw, we cannot neglect our God when we make our plans. We cannot neglect our God when we open our mouths. This is serious. And Jesus points this all out in Matthew 23:16. I'll just read it for you. He says, "Woe to you." He's talking to the Pharisees. "Woe to you, blind guides, who say, if anyone swears by the temple, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, well, then he's bound by his oath. You blind fools, for which is greater, the gold that the temple has made sacred or the temple? And you say, if anyone swears by the altar, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift that is on the altar, then he is bound to keep his oath. So whoever swears by the altar swears by it and everything on it. And whoever swears by the temple swears by it and him who dwells in it." There again is the reference to God. "Whoever swears by heaven swears by the throne of heaven and him who sits on it." We better be careful with our words. The point is, be completely truthful when you speak. Forsake all forms of falsehood in your language. We have to think about what we say. Be so truthful in your speech that you don't need to appeal to some higher dignity than your own in order for your words to have weight. Establishing a history of keeping your word in the small things will make you believed in the larger things. We have to be a people of our word. Well, if the problem of the tongue is lying, well, then we need to choose today that that is not going to mark our lives. Every one of us need to make up our minds, I'm not going to exaggerate anymore. I'm not going to shade things in order to make me look better in front of my coworkers. I'm not going to twist and manipulate anymore. Just forsake it. I'm asking you today, make a commitment before the Lord to forsake all forms of falsehood in your language. It's chilling to stop just for a minute and to think, where does lying come from? Jesus answers that question in John 8:44. He's speaking to the Pharisees, but he's speaking to all of us. And he says to them, "You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar, and he is the father of lies." Jesus said, when Satan speaks, he only speaks lies because there is no truth in him. He speaks out of his own character. Who are we like when we lie? Who are we obeying when we lie? Satan is the father of all lies. He lies because at the very core of his being, he's a liar and there's no truth in him. I don't want to be like Satan. I don't want any of you to be like Satan at all. When Jesus says, out of his own character he speaks, what he's saying is, the lips are the lid to our hearts. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. When you get under somebody's tongue, you're getting into their heart. And for me, that's scary. Listen to what James says about the tongue. You went over it weeks ago. I'll just remind you. James 3. "The tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness, set on fire by hell." 3:8. "The tongue is a restless evil, full of deadly poison." Jesus said in Matthew 12, "A tree is known by its fruit. How can you speak good when you're evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person, out of his good treasure, brings forth good. The evil person, out of his evil treasure, brings forth evil." So when patience is gone, and the days are difficult, and you're suddenly challenged with a quick shock of something, what pops out of your mouth? My pastor growing up always said, you never know what's in a bucket until it's bumped. And then it's revealed. So when you're on your way to work in the morning and you're late, patience is gone, somebody pulls out in front of you, what happens? What pops out of your mouth? Blessings or cursings? For all of us, it's a challenge. What fills our hearts overflows out of our mouths in the moments we're not prepared to hold back. And when we don't have patience, We can't withhold ourselves. We don't have the self-control. And so out pops whatever. And then we have to really analyze and say, ah, that's what's in my heart. Because what pops out of my mouth has revealed what's in my heart. That's why scripture memorization and meditation is so essential. I want to be so full of scripture, when you punch me in the stomach, a verse pops out. Now, I'm not there yet. And I don't want anybody testing me on this either. Don't you want to be that way? When the circumstances of life that surprise you and your patience is gone, when your bucket is bumped, don't you want graciousness to flow out? Don't you want the love of God to flow out? A blessing and not a curse? Don't swear oaths. Don't be filled with anger. Be filled with God's word. David says, meditate on it day and night. When you go to bed, says Deuteronomy 6, and when you get up, you learn the law of the Lord. We've got to fall in love with God's word. For then our lives can be changed. So what's the solution to the trouble? If the problem of the tongue, swearing of oaths and lying and all this mess, if that's the problem of the tongue, what's the solution? Well, the solution is obviously a change of heart. It's almost as if the tongue muscle goes down and finds its root in our heart. If out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, in order to correct our words, we've got to have a change of heart. And we just sang it. These songs that we sing in the mornings are not accidental. We pray about it. We talk about what the theme of a sermon is going to be. And then we sing songs. God, give us a new heart. Give me clean hands and a pure heart. Do you mean those things when you sing them? I hope you do. The solution is a changed heart. So let your yes be yes and your no be no. Learn to love truth more than you love lying. Learn to love obedience to the Lord more than you love people thinking you're nice and good and clean and perfect. We want to be that. But we want our hearts to change so that naturally overflows and not become some facade. The correct answer to learning how to control your words is to have a change of heart. So pray and ask Jesus to change your heart. Jesus is truth. John 14:6 says, Jesus said, I'm the way, the what? The truth and the life. Jesus is the truth. If we begin to love truth, we're on our way to loving Jesus. Jesus said, do you love me more? Or do you love lying more? Making yourself look good. Paul writes this in Ephesians 4:21. He says, truth is in Jesus. And in John 1:14, and the word became flesh and he dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, the glory as the only Son of the Father, full of mercy and truth. Jesus is full of truth. Are we full of Jesus? Are we full of truth? Do we love truth? Do we love Christ in how we speak? If you find it in your heart this morning that you still have an affinity towards lying, twisting, changing the truth so that you look better, then ask Christ to give you a heart that would turn away from that. It's painful. I prayed this morning with the prayer team that we would see God's work as good, but it might be painful. Right? When a surgeon operates on us and fixes something internally that's wrong, does that never hurt? Surgery is painful. It hurts to be cut open. But what is the result? Goodness, healing, wholeness. Jesus is the good physician. His work is good. It might be painful, but we must endure because the end will be pure hands and a pure heart. That's the reward for obedience. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. Why? You look at the last part of James chapter 12. James says, let your yes be yes, your no be no, so that there's a reason for it. And this is the reward of obedience, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Let your answers simply be yes, yes, no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. And you know, a scary verse in the Bible, Matthew 12, 36 and 37. Jesus says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, or by your words you will be condemned. Every careless word I speak, I'm going to have to give an account to my Savior for. Every careless word. I think we need to minimize those careless words. We're all going to give an answer for how we talk. In Ecclesiastes, the writer says, let your words be few. Do not be rash with your mouth. Now listen to this. Nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven, you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Don't let your heart utter a hasty word. Hasty words, angry words flow out of angry and hasty hearts. Pray that the Lord will change your heart. We need pure hearts in order to have pure words. I got an email this morning from a man who used to be my youth minister when I was 11 or 12. He is not in the ministry anymore because he was a man who he didn't keep his word. He was not a man of integrity. One of the things I ask you in the beginning is that you would pray for us as elders. We must be men of integrity. And it won't happen if you people do not pray for us. You have to pray for us. You've got to make it a commitment that I will pray for those guys. Get our picture and put it on the refrigerator, something. Keep our faces before your minds in prayer. This is not a game. We're not looking for jobs. We don't come here on Sunday morning because there's nothing else better to do. Heaven and hell hang upon the proclamation of the gospel. And when we are not men of integrity, we don't have a hearing. He's not in the ministry because he never kept his promises. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like that. And I know the other seven men who serve this church do not want to be like that. So help us. Pray that our yes will be yes. We mean what we say. And when we give our word, we're going to do it. We keep our promises. So, maybe the Lord has got a hold of your heart. Maybe you've realized, I do need some change, some things. We elders talk a lot. There's a greater opportunity for there to be sin. In fact, there's a verse in Proverbs that says that. Where there is much talking, transgression is inevitable. So pray for us. And if you sense the need changing some of your speech, then just ask the Lord right now to give you a changed heart and help you to guard your words. So bow your head and pray. Ask the Lord to move. Join with me. Father, your word always comes to us and challenges us. And Jesus, I pray that right now you would turn every heart in this room to love you, first of all. Secondly, that we would love truth. God, if there is someone in here who doesn't know you, doesn't trust you, then I ask that you would grant a heart of faith. Open up our hearts so that we can receive your word implanted into our hearts, that your word in our hearts would transform us. Jesus prayed, sanctify them and in truth, Father. Your word is truth. God, let your word transform our hearts. God, make us salt and light. Help us to be vigilant with every word we speak, to be careful not to disobey you, not to say anything that would bring shame on your name. So Jesus, we thank you for the promise that you never leave us nor forsake us. Work in our hearts. Through Christ Jesus we pray. Amen.